promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, February 7th.
February 7th.
Brigetta is with us despite all odds.
I know, right? Despite the rain. You love the rain.
I do love the rain, but it's hardly raining.
Whatever.
There's
people
nothing
can't,
out there.
People can't drive. They're stupid in the rain. We've had these discussions.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
So let's not get into
okay.
it. Okay. Did your drive take longer, though?
Yes, it takes longer because people are, like, slamming on brakes and, like, freaking out. And then there's, like, huge trucks everywhere. And I'm like, God, why?
Yeah.
If I had a zapper. Zap them and then disappear.
Them.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah. Eventually, we'll have helicopters, I think, going to work. You know, that should be pretty cool.
Eventually, we'll have teleporters, and I can teleport everywhere I want to go, which would be amazing. It'll be like Star Trek, a whole new level. I don't know.
Yeah. So how are you doing this morning otherwise?
I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. Kind of went out last night. Had some fun.
Where did you go?
I went and had sushi, and then I went to a karaoke bar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You like to sing?
I do. I didn't sing last night, though.
What?
Well, people were like, really? Okay, I'm a horrible singer. But I'm a great performer. Like, if you watch the performance, it's like, oh, that's really freaking hilarious.
Really?
Like, yeah.
So it gets everybody's mind off of singing.
Oh, yeah. Just cover your ears, like, really tightly, and then just watch the show, and it's pretty funny. But no, you know what is in L.A. is, like, people are such good singers here. Mm-hmm. People, like, go all out, and it's like this battle of, like, you know, like, American Idol karaoke style. And I'm like, oh, I just don't even want to get it up in that. Like,
that's true. Yeah. People do that, you know.
If I were back east, I sound amazing. People are like, oh, wow, you're great. I'm like, yeah. I think
it's all relative.
I broke the glass behind me, but okay. Yeah. Exactly.
It's all relative.
But it was fun. So I listened. There were some good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what I did last night? I drank beer. I haven't drank beer in forever.
That's true. You say you don't drink beer.
I don't drink beer.
So why did you drink beer?
Because they didn't have liquor. Well, they had this liquor. Actually, it was really funny. So I order this drink, and I'm like, I don't think there's anything in it. And this guy comes up to, like, the table that we're at, and he's like, they don't sell liquor here. And I'm like, oh my God, no wonder this drink is so weak. Like, thinking, I'm like, that's really funny. I'm just drinking, like, ginger. Like, oh, that's really funny. They're like, they have this Korean vodka. I think it's called soju or whatever. So it's just really, it's not like really vodka. It's just like, it's like sake, but it's not even strong. It's like nothing. It's like water.
Really?
So I was like, oh, I'll just drink that on the rocks. And then I was like, this sucks. So I had a Guinness. And I decided to do Irish car bombs when in Rome.
Yeah.
You know what an Irish car bomb is?
No, I don't know.
Oh my God, they're so amazing. It's when you drop Baileys into a Guinness, and then you pound it, and it tastes like chocolate.
Really?
It's so good.
Wow, it sounds so pretty interesting.
I know.
Wow. Yeah. I'll try that sometime.
Yeah, it was.
That was get so creative with the drinks, huh?
Well, no, it's like, I mean, I haven't done that kind of drink in, God, probably since, like, high school or, like, back in the day. It's been years. Yeah. But they had it at the special last night at the bar. I'm like, why
might
not?
As well, yeah.
Yeah. So,
do it.
We did it. So that was... It was good times. Yeah. Anyways.
All right. I just wanted to bring up this quickly. I wanted to see what you think about this. Did you hear that there's an LA school here where there was child abuse and stuff like that?
No.
Right? I told you about this with a teacher that put, like, cockroaches on the kids' faces and stuff. You don't remember we talked about that?
No, and I want to smack the teacher in the face. Where do they live?
Yeah, not only that, but I mean, he videotaped his abuse with these kids, you know. He would he would blindfold them.
What?
Put bugs on them.
How old are these kids?
These are like 12-year-olds.
Are you kidding me? And they didn't go home and tell their parents?
I guess not for a while, and then
I would have been the tattletale, and I would have told everybody.
Yeah, I know. So apparently it took a while until somebody said something.
Oh my God.
And
why
he was like
What is wrong with
him? They showed in the video. I mean, this is disgusting, but he would put, like, semen in a spoon.
Shut up.
A spoon and stuff. And
where would he, like, would he bring it with him? Or did this happen during class?
No, no, not during class. I think he did this, like, I don't know. Maybe he did it in a classroom.
This is, that's insane.
It
like,
is
these
insane.
Kids are going to be scarred for life.
Right. So, think about that.
What
and then
school?
2 years later, I mean, 2 years, 2 days later, another teacher is accused of child abuse in the same school.
In the same school?
In the same school.
Okay, that's really creepy.
Right.
Are they both
and
men?
They're saying
or are they...
Yeah, and they don't know if there's a connection between them.
Yeah.
But apparently, so what the school decided to do is fire everybody.
Yeah, well.
What do you think of that? I mean, do you think that makes sense?
Yeah, actually, good for them. They need to make a statement. Absolutely. I feel sorry for the ones that were innocent. But I will say, because if another one's involved, other people had to have known about it. Not just, if just two teachers were involved with it, there had to have been some kind of gossip or talk or something. Everyone there had to have known something. Mm. And the fact that no one like stood up or did anything, the fact that there were two teachers are alone is disgusting and beyond me. So I wonder what else. And maybe there was something else underground that they're not telling the public about that they found out
about. It's possible, you know, but
that
just think
more
about
than likely.
It. If you were like a teacher there and you had nothing to do with this, you'd probably be pretty irritated.
I'd be pissed, but you know what? Yeah. Go for the school board. Good. They need to make a statement about it. They need to like literally make a statement. And I think I agree with them. I actually agree with them in that case.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you
know,
I feel bad for the teachers that had nothing to do with it.
Because, well, otherwise, as a parent, I would have yanked, I mean, I probably would still yank my child out of that school, but just because I wouldn't want the memory and
they
like,
are,
whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to try and save the school and try and save fate, like, and try, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to clean house and bring all new people back in.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a while to really build that name back up. But damn, like, that's just, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I know, crazy shit, man. Totally. I don't know.
Are they going to jail? Or are they getting...
Obviously,
like,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, they're like... They have over $1 million bail or something.
How did they find the videos?
Probably in his house or something.
Oh, so the cops found out. The cops went to their house, raided the house, whatever.
Right, yeah.
Oh, my God. That is insane.
That's pretty disgusting.
It's just so foul what's wrong with people these days. Yeah.
I know.
Wow. Okay.
And the crazy things that people do. You know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Anyway,
what a wake-up call.
Yeah. I know. All right. Well, we've got a special guest in the studio, and you invited him over.
Yeah.
And he seems like a pretty nice guy to me. You know, now that I'm looking at you again, you seem familiar to me. You know, I may have seen you before somewhere, but...
Maybe.
Welcome to the show, Michael
Earle.
Well,
we have Michael Earle with us. Yeah.
Yes.
And he is a voice beyond many voices, or like behind many. He's like a puppet master in a way, but not a creepy puppet master, like a good puppet master.
Okay. So why don't we ask Michael?
I'll let him like tell. You're like.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome
How's it going?
To the show.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're good. You see, we started the day talking about child abuse and stuff.
I see
but,
that.
But we're going to move over to better and
I
happier
am moving.
Things.
Yeah. Yeah. The show kind of goes everywhere sometimes. So,
okay.
Yeah. I know that was really random, but.
All right.
So give us a little bit of your background. What is it that you do?
Okay. Well, I'm a puppeteer by trade. For about 30 years, I had a TV and film career working for the Muppets and other companies.
Oh, wow.
Back in the day.
On Sesame Street, too?
On Sesame Street.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played Mr. Snuffleupagus back in the day.
Really?
And he was my favorite. No, I'm not even kidding. Like I was scared of a lot of them, but for whatever reason, I love Snuffle. But I couldn't say it as a kid. I'd be like, Snuffle! Like, or whatever. Yeah.
I know.
Who made up that name? Was that like Jim Henson?
I'm not sure who made up that name. That was back in the 60s, so that was before me.
Wow. That's true. That was like, so you were like doing this in the 70s, 80s?
In the late 70s, early 80s.
Right. Yes. Yeah. That's. I guess I was over that by then, you know. I mean, I was like, Sesame Street was like, in the 60s I was watching that.
69 it came on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I joined in 78.
That's when I was born.
Really?
Yeah. So I watched it from 78 on. Yeah.
Wow. So we saw you. We just didn't know it was you.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's one of the like the full size Muppets, right? I mean, you had to get inside the costume and everything.
It's called the body puppet.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's called the body puppet, and Big Bird is also a body puppet.
Right.
Yeah. Do they get really hot inside there?
Very hot, yes, indeed.
And can you see well out of it?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. You have a TV monitor strapped to your chest about 2 inches square.
Oh, wow.
And that's how you see when the camera's on you.
Oh, my gosh.
Really? Wow. That's pretty tough.
And when the camera's not on you, you're blind.
You have no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. So that's why, you guys move around really well, as a kid. But then again, I guess that's why, they don't move around that much. That crazy.
No, they don't.
I think about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't know. I'm a kid. I just thought that it was whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So where are you from? Are you originally from L.A.?
I'm not. I was born in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was raised in Livermore, which is up in the Bay Area.
Okay.
I see.
Okay.
So you're still Californian.
I'm a Californian, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you grew up there, in the Bay Area?
In the Bay Area till I was 18. Uh-huh. Then I moved to New York City.
Oh, I see. Everybody eventually moves to New York City, right?
New York's the place.
Yeah.
It is.
So why did you move there?
Because I met somebody that worked for the Muppets who built Big Bird and Snuffleupagus at a puppetry festival.
Oh, wow.
When I was 17.
Oh, my gosh.
And he had some puppet-making work for me to do there. And so he asked if I would go there and help him build some puppets.
So you had already been into puppets and things
my whole life
before.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Tell us how you got into that.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Well, when I was 5, my father took me to a street fair in San Francisco, and I saw a puppet show, my first puppet show. And at that moment, I knew that's what I wanted to do when I grew up.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's cool, yeah.
And
so you started doing this for the kids in the neighborhood?
Mm-hmm, yep, birthday parties.
Put on shows
in the garage,
cool.
Birthday
parties.
I used to
do that. I did. I was really bad at this. I used to make sock puppets.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, cool.
I know. I was really bad. My mom had some videotapes. I still have them. I should look at them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway. Or maybe I shouldn't.
Puppets look different back then, huh?
Yeah.
They were a lot simpler.
Yeah, they were simpler, yeah. The original Sesame Street Muppets are very simple. If you look at them, they're very, very, they're just shapes. They're they're ovals and circles and nothing moves on them.
Really?
Yeah, there's no mechanical parts on them. You know, Ernie and Bert just have, Bert has an eyebrow that moves, I guess.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
But other than that, I think they're just very simple puppets.
Really? So they've evolved over the years? I mean, they've pretty much stayed the same, right? I mean, the characters have stayed the same.
Those characters.
But you're saying the puppets themselves changed? Or?
Well, over time, they brought more mechanical puppets into the, The Muppet Show had a few mechanical things, and the movies and specials, and Dinosaurs was very mechanical. That was a series that I worked on also. Mm. It had mechanical heads, like audio animatronic heads on the dinosaurs.
Wow. Right.
Very sophisticated.
Uh-huh.
And that was the last thing Jim Henson worked on, actually, before he passed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But that was very different than the original Muppets, which were just simple cloth things.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it grew into this whole sort of mechanical audio animatronic thing.
Oh my god.
That's
funny.
Wow.
I know.
So so you started doing puppet shows for the kids in the neighborhood and things like that.
Sorry.
Go ahead. No.
Did you make your own back then?
I did. I started sort of trying to make my own. I read some books.
Okay.
And then I used to go, when I was 13, I joined this thing called the Puppeteers of America, which is a organization of national puppeteers.
Mm-hmm. And you were 13.
I was 13.
That's so awesome that he knew that.
Yeah, it's you knew what you were meant to do.
I knew what I wanted to do.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I also was a member of the San Francisco Bay Area Puppetry Guild.
Uh-huh.
And there I met a man named Mike Osnowitz. And Mike Osnowitz was a German puppeteer who had a wife, Frances.
Mm-hmm.
And they were from Germany. And they had a son, which I never knew that they had a son. No one ever told me who their son was. Their son was Frank Oz.
Frank Oz.
And Frank Oz did Miss Piggy.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Fozzie Bear,
now
Cookie Monster, Grover.
By the way, did you hear Miss Piggy is hosting, I think it's the Grammys or the Oscars or something this year?
Really?
The carpet? Yeah. They're talking this morning on Ryan Seacrest on the way here. I heard about it. I was
cool.
No way. He's like, I got booted by Miss Piggy.
Uh-huh.
He's like, what the hell? I was like, that's actually really cool. I'm going to watch it just for that.
Yeah. Well, Frank Oz did Miss Piggy as well.
Okay.
Yeah, that's who he did. Not anymore. He's retired. But anyway. So, so I didn't know that was their son.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
So at a puppetry festival when I was 17, I had lunch with Mike Osnowitz, his dad, and he asked me what I was going to be doing now that I was out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm thinking about going to L.A., possibly New York. I met this man named Kermit Love who works in New York, who works for the Muppets. So apparently he called Jim Henson and Frank Oz about me and said, I've known this kid for 4 years through the guild and such. Give him a job if he comes to New York. But I didn't know that till Jim Henson's funeral.
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So you went there not knowing that this had been planned and everything?
No, I had no idea. I just was going randomly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Wow.
So yeah. You went, he didn't like refer you or anything? So I mean,
no, he never told me, he never told me his son was Frank Oz. No one ever told me his son was Frank Oz.
Right.
And so I just thought I had this random conversation with Mike Osnowitz, who I'd known for 4 or 5 years through the Guild and through the puppetry organizations. Mm-hmm. And then next thing I know in New York, first I got a job working for a guy named Bill Baird. And Bill Baird did the puppets for Sound of Music, those marionettes, one little girl and a pale pink.
It's one of my favorite movies.
So I worked for him. He was one of my heroes growing up. He was kind of the Jim Henson of his time in the 40s.
Wow.
And so I got to work for him. That was the thrill. And then right after that, well, during that job, I heard that the Muppets were making a movie out in California. Mm-hmm. So when I got back to New York, I got a phone call from this man, Kermit Love, says, I've been talking to Jim Henson about you. And also Mike Osnowitz had too. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. And Jim wants to know if you want to go out to L.A. and work on the Muppet movie. So that Muppet movie was the first thing I did for them. It was 1978.
Wow. Were you just like so ecstatic? It was like your dream is finally like coming true.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really incredible. It was like I was 18 and all my dreams were coming true all
That's
of a
amazing.
Sudden. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Obviously. So you started with a film and then you went into TV?
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
I know.
Yeah. So how did you connect with Jim Henson and all? Through that guy, right?
Yeah, through Kermit Love.
Through Kermit Love.
It's funny his name is like Kermit Love.
I know.
Did he play Kermit at all?
No relation to Kermit the Frog.
No relation.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny.
Yeah, really odd. But he built all the big characters for Jim Henson, like Snuffleupagus, Big Bird, other big monster characters.
Wow.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was his job.
So did you get time to spend with Jim Henson to find out how he came about, how he all started this and stuff? Maybe we'll talk a little bit about him too.
Okay.
Whatever you know about him, because he's a fascinating man, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he really started this whole thing, right?
I mean,
it was his idea.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when he started the Muppets or
Back in the
Sesame
50s.
Street?
Back in the 50s, he had a show called Sam and Friends. I don't know what year it was, but he and his girlfriend or wife, I guess at the time, I'm not sure if they're married yet, but they started a 5-minute show back in D.C. called Sam and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Henson was from Maryland. And
yay, Maryland! Sorry, I saw that. I forgot about that. I forgot he's from Maryland.
Yeah, and so he started this 5-minute show. And Bert Tilstrom, who was a puppeteer on Kukla, Fran, and Ollie on CBS back then in the 50s, he knew Ed Sullivan because they were both on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
So Bert Tilstrom, the puppeteer from Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, told Ed Sullivan, you should see this guy's show. It's really funny. His name's Jim Henson. And he has this 5-minute show in Washington, D.C. So they he looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, he put Jim Henson's Muppets on The Ed Sullivan Show. And that was the beginning of Jim's career. Yeah.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. So he started creating his own puppets and stuff, right?
He made Kermit out of his mom's coat, I believe.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's creative.
It's interesting to know those the origins of all this.
I wonder if his mom knew the coat was being used for that or not. That's something I would do. I would just take it. Sounds like a great idea. And then get reamed later. Oops.
Yeah.
I don't know where that coat went.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I guess as a puppeteer, you have to develop different voices, right?
Yep.
How was that for you? I mean, did you have to learn that from anybody or did it come naturally?
I had to sort of learn that because I was shy and doing voices was very intimidating for me.
Really?
And when I was starting out, I used to do pre-recorded shows when I was growing up. So it was all like lip sync to tracks.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Because I was comfortable with that because I was shy.
Yeah.
When I got to Sesame Street, I had to actually do voices and I couldn't be shy. There was like 50 people standing around looking at you like, okay, be funny. Go ahead. Ready? Go.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, with this funny voice you're going to do with this puppet on your hand. So I had to learn really quickly to not to get over that.
Oh, wow.
And I took a voiceover class, a character voiceover class, so to sort of learn more about voices, cartoon voices, character voices, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And from there, I just got improved.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it was just, I was thinking too, like, so I guess they had scripts and everything. How did you, or did you memorize it? Because you can't see inside there. There's no teleprompters really.
Right.
Anything.
No. Inside Snuffleupagus, you have to memorize your lines.
Okay.
But the rest of the characters that I did, I also did a character called Forgetful Jones. I did Slimy, Oscar the Grouch's pet worm.
I loved Oscar.
I did these characters called the Honkers.
Oh my God, I remember them.
I did a parrot, which wasn't on very long, named Poco Loco. He was this sort of irreverent talking parrot.
Okay.
And I did a lot of what's called Anything Muppets, which were these characters that they would change up their features every episode,
okay.
and you'd have different characters. So I did a lot of those too as well. So what they would do is they would tape up the scripts mm-hmm. on the set. So you could actually read your lines while you were puppeteering a regular hand puppet.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
But inside the body puppets, you had to actually memorize your lines.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, so he started with, did he call them Muppets in the beginning?
I think so. That was sort of a brand name that he came up with. It was either a cross between marionettes and puppets or monsters and puppets. I'm not sure exactly how that came, but that's where Muppet came from.
Hmm.
I see. And so was the Sesame Street idea, was that his idea? Or did the network have the idea and then they decided he's going to do it for us?
I think it was the idea of a woman named Joan Gantz Cooney and her husband. Mm-hmm. They started Sesame Children's Television Workshop, mm-hmm. which is now called Sesame Workshop. And they thought up the idea for Sesame Street, and they got Jim Henson involved mm-hmm. to create the characters, the puppet characters, because they had seen him on Ed Sullivan and mm-hmm. such, and they wanted him to be a part of their show. So it was actually a man named John Stone who directed, Joan Gantz Cooney, and Jim Henson that got together in the beginning and sort of brainstormed. Mm-hmm. Then they got like child psychologists involved to research like character ideas for, like, Big Bird is, I think, a four-year-old, for instance.
Oh, wow.
And so every character on the show actually has research behind it by child psychologists.
Wow.
Like, so they can relate to certain groups of
age groups.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And it's so funny because it's like, to think that I watched it as a child and, uh-huh. you know, and then my, like, friends that have children that are watching it. Still, it's just kind of...
Right. And that's why it's so successful. I think anything you do in the child business, because you always have new children in the mm-hmm. world all the time, you know? So that's why all these kids' movies and stuff, they last forever.
Yeah.
You know, Disney and things like that, you know?
That's true.
And so that's cool. So over the generations, people have been mm-hmm. able to watch
like
essentially the same show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
I used to love watching that. You know, I have some potato chips and something to drink, and I was like, you know, 5 years old. Or
I used to watch it in high school. My sister would come home and see me sitting on the couch watching Sesame Street. She says, "What are you doing? You're in high school." I said, "But I like to watch the Muppets, and I have to learn, you know."
That's so funny.
Yeah, I watched Mr. Rogers too. She's like, "What are you crazy?"
I love Mr. Rogers. Yeah, it's funny if you're in high school.
But I was in high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
But had puppets also.
See, my excuse to watch it is because I always babysat. I'd be like, "I'm watching it because they're watching it." So. Shut up.
You know? I've met a lot of adults actually that used to watch Sesame Street getting ready for work in the morning.
Yeah.
With no kids.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Well, because it's happy and cheerful and like, I don't know. It's like good start to the day, I guess.
Yeah. It really
the
is.
The cartoons,
you know?
Being on, but like, I don't like cartoons really.
Yeah. You know what's amazing is when I grew up, I guess, in the 60s, TV was still black and white, at least where I was in Israel, you know. So I always saw Sesame Street in black and white.
Oh, my gosh.
And then when I came here, it's like suddenly so bright. The colors are just so bright mm-hmm. and beautiful. And you know what colors Ernie is. And,
and you're like, oh.
You know?
Yeah. Did you guys have the dolls like back in Israel or no?
I don't think we did. Okay. No, not at the time. You know?
Yeah.
It was like so backwards back then.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about the 60s, you know. But so then I came here, and that's what I love about it. It's so colorful and so full of life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like all your basic colors and stuff for kids, and you know, it's really cool. So they've done Sesame Street. So they did it for so many years, and then the idea of the Muppet movies came up.
Yeah, the Muppet movies was one of Jim's dreams, I guess, to do a movie mm-hmm. as well as a TV series. Like The Muppet Show was his dream to do that.
I watch that all the time.
Right. As a matter of fact, Carol Spinney, who did Big Bird for uh-huh. many, many years, he told me once that Jim had this dream to do a Muppet show, and while he was on Sesame Street, and every year he would sort of talk to him about this goal that he had. Mm-hmm. And when he finally got to the goal, it was not in this country. He couldn't get it sold in this country. He went to all the networks, and all the networks said, "Oh no, puppets are for kids."
Yeah.
And he says, "No, I don't want to do a kids show anymore. I've done a kids show. I want to do a family show. I want it for everybody. I want puppets for everybody, like that, like in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Puppets are for everybody.
But oh, really?
But in this country, like Germany and France and things, they have things that are puppet theaters you can go to.
Yeah, Germany's big in that.
Wow. Yeah. Russia.
Really big. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But not here. It's primarily for children. So he didn't want to do that anymore. He wanted to sort of take the next step and do a, like a family show. So he went to England and he got a guy named Lord Lou Grade to...
Everything's a Lord there.
Yeah, right? Produce. Although I don't think he was a Lord at the time. Okay. I think he was just Sir Lou Grade.
Okay.
He became a Lord later. And he sort of produced, he produced the show for them and in England. And they had trouble getting American stars to come over to London to guess because it was a brand new show and it was unproven and it was a long way to fly for this Muppet show thing. But once it aired, then everybody wanted to be on and it was the most watched show in the world at the time.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. So actually the Muppets started in England?
Well, the Muppet show.
The Muppet show. I mean.
Yeah, after Sesame Street, the Muppet show came up and the movies.
On TV, right.
The movies were also produced by Lou Grade as well.
I see.
The first ones. I don't know if the other ones were, but I know the first one was.
Right. So it started in England, though.
Yeah,
the Muppet show.
Yeah, the Muppet movies were shot. Well, the first one was shot in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And then the second one was, I think, shot in London.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, Sesame Street, that was in New York, right?
New York, yes.
Yeah. I don't know how I know that.
I don't know either. I think I knew that, too. What was the set like there? I mean, it was like, I'm just curious.
It's
like
a lot smaller than you remember it.
Okay.
When you go there, you walk onto the set, and because the camera kind of stretches it.
Yeah.
But when you actually walk onto the set, you're like, wow, this is it?
You're like, this is just the room, right?
Wow. Yeah, it's like it's a small studio.
Okay.
Yeah. With a set of a street.
Yeah.
And what you recognize as soon as you walk on, you're like, oh, this is Sesame Street, but it's kind of small.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it's kind of odd when you first walk on. They moved the studio. They used to be in a place called Reeves Teletape in Manhattan on 81st Street, which is where I worked. But they moved it to the Astoria Studios, which is in Queens. Mm-hmm. That's where it's shot now.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they're still shooting Sesame Street.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's not
still
only
on.
Reruns.
No,
right?
no, they're all.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
What is it like? They shoot it weekly or something?
Mm-hmm, yeah, and they have a season, then they have a season off. You know, they have hiatus like all TV shows.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they rerun a lot of the animation. You know, they plug them in little inserts, little puppet inserts, animation inserts. So I think there's about 20 minutes of new footage that they shoot every day. They used to, I don't know if they still do, but they used to shoot two shows a day.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And then like 20 minutes worth of material, then they would like edit in all this other stuff that they would already have used.
Right.
So that, because repetition, the idea for the show was repetition, teach children through repetition.
Right.
So by using the same cartoons and the same puppet sketches over and over and over and reinforcing that in the kids' minds, that was the sort of the concept, I think, of Sesame Street.
Right.
Yeah.
So now, some of the voices, there were like two main ones, right? I mean, it was Jim Henson and what's the name of the guy that does Miss Piggy? And
Frank Oz.
Yeah, Frank Oz.
Okay, so that's him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it seemed like these two did a lot of different characters, right?
They did. They did a lot of characters, and they were like a great comedy team. I mean, they were like Laurel and Hardy or Abbott and Costello.
Really?
They were really. And I heard that actually they were going to do Ernie and Bert reversed when they first started.
Oh, my gosh.
That Jim Henson was going to do Bert and Frank Oz was going to do Ernie, but then they switched.
Right.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Because history was not going to be made.
No. Right? So, oh, my gosh.
They needed to sound the way they did.
They do. Yes, they did.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
So, yeah, that's funny how things work out.
Yeah. Who did the count?
That's a guy named Jerry Nelson.
Okay.
Yeah, a man named Jerry Nelson. And Jerry Nelson was
one apple.
And I think that was actually Jerry Nelson's idea to do that character.
Really?
He's a puppeteer, and he had this idea for the count. He was the original Snuffleupagus, actually, Jerry Nelson.
Okay.
But he hurt his back, and they needed a replacement, and then I entered the scene.
And there you go.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Was
your height a factor here? Because obviously you need to be tall for that character.
It's a tall character. They wanted somebody tall and strong, and I was young. I was 19 and, you know, strong and tall. I fit the suit.
Is it heavy to carry? Like, how heavy are those?
It's built on a parachute harness.
Okay.
So the weight is very equally distributed on your body. It doesn't really feel heavy.
Okay.
It's all made out of rattan, like... You know, like, you know what that is?
Yeah,
okay. Like rattan furniture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a, it's called rattan. I don't know what it's like.
Yeah.
It's like wood.
Like a burlap, but like not. I don't know how.
No, it's kind
really
of like, you know that straw furniture? That,
yeah.
What's like, it called? Wicker?
Yeah.
Wicker, right.
It's like wicker, but it's stronger than wicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I can picture it.
It's like bamboo sort of, but it's bent into shapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was an elaborate character, right? I mean, it's like really heavy.
Yeah, it's big.
Because he's got a lot of like hair and all this stuff on it. I don't remember exactly what he looked like, but
like a big elephant with no ears.
Yeah,
I do, because that was the only stuffed animal I used to drag around with me everywhere. Uh-huh. Like, I had Big Bird, and I had, like, the Grouch and Bert and Ernie, obviously, but I used to just drag. I don't know why. I just love Snuffle, because I would just drag it everywhere I went. Yeah.
Little did you know that you would meet the guy, like...
I know. You know, it's funny. I actually... You're going to laugh. I actually think I still have it. I still have some stuffed animal, very few, from when I was a kid. They're
That's
in my
cute.
Room. I know. They're,
it's
like, in
nice
my room.
It's nice to save these things, you know?
Yes.
I have almost nothing left from when I was a kid, you know? Now I wish I'd collected and hoarded everything, you know? But,
Absolutely. Are you? No, not that bad, but I just, like, there's some things, like, I love my stuffed animals. I don't know, when I was younger, I was scared of everything. Actually, it's funny, I learned from Sesame Street, I think, I don't know who did it, but I remember... I think it was the honker guy, the little honker one. There were like these aliens or like I was scared of ghosts in my room. And I remember they did this thing where they were like talk about aliens that were coming down or something or like whatever. And they were like, all you got to do is say some weird saying and they'll go away and you'll feel better. And so I used to line up all my stuffed animals around the bed like they did. They said something to do. And I said this stupid weird saying and I was like, they'll keep me safe. And for years I did this.
That's cool.
It's really weird.
But it's cute.
So,
it's amazing the things that kids do, you know?
I got it from Sesame Street.
Oh, okay.
I know. It's really weird. Anyway.
Yeah. So, can you do the voice of the camera?
I can. Yes,
go
I
ahead.
Can.
Yeah,
all right.
Do it.
Want me to do it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, here we go. Hi, Bird. Let's do some snuffleupagus things. Oh, Bert, I hear my mama calling. Bye-bye.
Wow. That's cool, you know?
Oh, my God, it, like, brings me back.
Yeah, because you never think there's a person inside and all that, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, was it still early on when you had to use, like, a TV screen to move around? Because the technology wasn't there yet, was it? Like,
yeah, no, it was
they
still
had, like,
pretty portable
primitive. Things.
Yeah, they had, like, a... the microphone was actually like a feed bag that hung around my head that had no strap support. It had like a strap, but it would fall forward and fall backwards.
Yeah.
Right. And so I had to sort of balance this strap on my head, and there was a tube with a microphone on the bottom of the tube.
Okay.
So I had to look down at the monitor and balance this thing on the top of my head. It was very primitive.
Yeah,
wow.
Obviously.
I'm sure now they have a microphone that's probably attached to the guy's lapel or something, but... For some reason in those years, it was very primitive,
Yeah. Wow. So it was hard work. It's not like you were just having fun doing this.
Yeah, it was work. I mean, it definitely was work. I mean, that's what I learned right away was when you go to a TV set, you have to be on time. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really important. You have to know your lines. That's really important. And then you have to sort of bring it to life like any actor does. You have to make it live. You just can't say the words. You have to actually, you know, in my case, I had to manipulate the eyes and the mouth and the snuffle, the trunk, which is called the snuffle. And you have to do all these other manipulative things while you're acting and saying the words and not, you know, screwing up.
It's a lot of thought.
It's a lot of, so it's stressful. It could be stressful.
Yeah.
You know, plus it's
imagine.
Very hot inside that costume puppet. So with all those sort of things, and they would open up there was Velcro in the side, and they would open up the Velcro for me, and they would take a card and they waft in air.
Oh my gosh.
And they'd say, do you want to get out? I'd say, no, just let's get this shot so I can get out for the rest of the day, you know, because it was so hot and I didn't want, and to get out, you have to like get out of the parachute harness.
Yeah,
and
that's a lot.
Hang up the puppet because it's hung from the ceiling, you know, you'd click it on and it was just like a little production to get out.
Right.
So it was easier just to stay in, sweat a little bit more, get it right, and then get out.
How long does it take to actually put on the whole gear and then get out of the whole gear?
About 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not a big deal,
No, it's just...
It could be worse.
Yeah.
But it's still a process.
Yeah.
Like, what if you have to go to the bathroom?
You're stuck.
So, obviously, you had to act as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any background in acting at all?
I did. I started doing TV commercials as an actor when I was 5 years old.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I did a very famous commercial when I was 7 called Is It Soup Yet? For Lipton Soup.
Okay.
And it was a big campaign in America, Is It Soup Yet?
Really?
And it ran for... That commercial ran for 3 years, but the campaign was over 10 or 15 years.
Wow.
But I was the original Is It Soup Yet kid. It was kind of a big deal at the time. Yeah, in the
60s. That's so cool.
And then when I was 18 in New York, I went to acting school. I went to HB Studio in New York, which was a nice acting school, and learned more about scene study and technique and took some improvisational lessons, which helped for the Muppet stuff, because it was very improvisational. Sesame Street was very improvisational. They said as long as you get from A to B, it's okay if you change some of the words.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. I was wondering that, too, because I was like, it kind of feels like in a way that it would be, it would work better as an improv, sort of, in a way. I don't know. Yeah.
So at what point did you decide you were going to move on? How long did you work for Sesame Street?
For just three seasons. Yeah, then I worked for the Muppets for 12 more years after that.
Oh,
so there was like a 15-year Muppet career altogether. But Sesame Street, it was hurting my voice. Snuffleupagus was, you know, talking like that all the time.
Yeah.
It was hurting my voice, and I was a singer, actually. I would sing in piano bars on the weekends, and I was studying voice with an opera singer, and she's like, what are you doing to your voice? And I'm like, I'm doing this character. It's hurting my voice. And so I sort of left that character behind and the show behind, but I still worked for the Muppets, and I still did specials and movies and things for them and series. And then but I also wanted to explore my acting. Mm-hmm. So I got more involved in doing musicals. And in 1984, I got cast in a musical that was produced by Sid and Marty Krofft, who were a big TV puppet company back in the 70s, 60s and 70s. And they cast me in a Broadway musical that never got to Broadway. It closed out of town.
Oh, no.
But it was a Broadway musical. And I was actually cast as a puppeteer.
Okay.
But I had to also be on stage in a body puppet as well as do puppetry like this with just my hand. Uh-huh. But it's very exciting to be part of a Broadway show. I mean, just the rehearsal process.
Wow.
And we did 4 weeks in Connecticut, which were hugely successful. But then they had to rewrite the show because there was some legal problems with the music.
Mm.
It's pre-existing music from other shows. And Singing in the Rain had the rights to that music, so we couldn't use that music anymore. So we had to get new music, and we never got it, and so the show fell apart. Moved in. But it was a great experience to be part of a big Broadway musical.
I can really imagine. That's awesome. Yeah.
So then at a certain point, you decided you're going to move to L.A., and when did that happen? Why did you
That happened in 1986. I wanted to sort of branch out, and I'm also a musician. And I had this idea to write theme songs for TV shows.
Oh, cool.
So I thought I'd take a break from puppets for a year or so and see if I could make my way in L.A. So I got here and people said, well, why would you want to do music when you're a puppeteer? And I'm like, because I want to try something new. And everybody basically discouraged me about that. And they said, but one person did say something. They said, what if you could do puppets in L.A. and work your way in the back door doing some sort of music? Which is what happened actually in 1994.
Okay.
I was working on a show in Mississippi, a local southern little TV show, and they needed someone to write some public service announcements for them in association with this little show they were doing. So they said, we know you have aspirations to write for television, so would you like to write little 1 minute scenes or 1 minute scripts for this character you're doing called Dr. TikTok? So I said, sure. So I wrote these 15 little scripts, and they were given to a composer to write the background music. And the composer said, what if we made these into songs? And I was a lyricist at that time as well. So he says, what if we, like Schoolhouse Rock was a popular thing, sort of like that. Do like Schoolhouse Rock.
That's awesome.
And sort of do another version of that with different topics for kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we wrote, we rewrote the 15 scripts into songs. And they entered them into the Southern Regional Emmys that year, and they won Best Public Service Announcements.
That's awesome.
And I won an Emmy for Best Performer.
Oh, my gosh.
For a puppet.
That's
and great. I'm like, how can this be? This is impossible.
That's
how can
so
a puppeteer
amazing.
Win an Emmy Award? And
so
but it worked. And so we did from 95 to 2001, we did these things called TikTok Minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran on PBS affiliates all across the country. Eventually, they were nationwide. And all together, the show won 12 Southern Regional Emmys, one National Emmys, Best Public Service Announcements.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I wrote.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah.
And then I won three more Emmys for my songwriting along the way.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Totally multi-talented, man.
I know.
So, yeah, so I'm kind of a creative. My whole family is very creative like that.
That's
so,
awesome.
Yeah.
And everyone's like super supportive, obviously.
Yeah, my mother was a dancer and a singer and a voice teacher and a dance teacher, and my stepdad was a piano and organ teacher, and my real father was an actor, and so there was all this creativity and teaching in the family,
That's great.
Yeah.
That definitely helps.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, so let's talk a little bit about what you do now. We only have a few minutes left, and so Tell us what it is that you do now, because no, I think he said like he has
puppet
like
school.
A company.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and tell us about it.
Well, it's called Puppet School, and after, like I said, I had a 30-year career, and the last thing I did was Team America, which was a wacky movie with marionettes.
Team America.
Yes, I remember
fuck
that
yeah.
One.
I have
a funny
it.
Movie.
Yep. And after that movie, I kind of thought, well, maybe I'll do more teaching. I'd done some teaching along the way over the last 25 years here and there, but I sort of was feeling like I wanted to do more. Mm-hmm. And so about 4 years ago, I started teaching on Saturdays in Sherman Oaks at a little casting studio. Mm-hmm. And then about a year and a half ago, a friend of mine named Roberto, he said, why don't you help me with my websites, proofread my websites for me that I'm building? Mm-hmm. And then I said, sure, in exchange for building me a website. And mm-hmm. so I said I had a website domain named puppetschool.com. Uh-huh. Well, his eyes lit up, and he says, this would be a great idea for a business. We should, like, make a business out of this. I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah. So the next day we started talking about it, and we got some students, and one thing led to another, and pretty soon we had 10 or 14 students, and that was the beginning. Then we got our own space in Sherman Oaks across the street from mm-hmm. the casting studio.
Wow.
Nice. And then one thing's led to another. So now we have beginning TV puppetry classes. Okay. We have intermediate advanced classes in TV puppetry. We have theatrical puppetry, Avenue Q style puppetry. We have a puppeteer that worked, actor who worked in Avenue Q on Broadway for 4 years in mm-hmm. Avenue Q. He teaches those classes. We also have puppet making classes. You can do professional puppet making or simple puppet making.
Yeah, so you can make your own.
You can make your own. Yeah, we have people all different types. It started out as actors, puppeteers, mm-hmm. but now it's like all kinds of people are coming to us to learn how to make puppets and to puppeteer. Sometimes it's because they want a new career. Sometimes it's just they want a new skill.
A new hobby. Right.
A new hobby. And express them their creativity. Yeah.
That's so awesome. And now, it's great because... like there really wasn't anything like that before.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I don't know what anybody else doing this. Yeah,
right. So now, are there jobs for puppeteers still?
There are. Yeah, there's still jobs for puppeteers in movies and commercials mm-hmm. and TV series for kids. They still have puppets for kids. There's an agent in LA that handles puppeteers. She's also a voiceover agent, but she does handle puppeteers and she sends them out on calls. And there's always calls. And
Well, the Muppets movie there was another one just recently.
Oh, a movie.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
And it did very well. It made over $100 million.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah, so Jason Segel, wasn't it? And then, you know, it was filmed at the scary Doheny Mansion part of it.
Really?
That place is the scariest place I've ever been to.
Really?
Another time. But yeah, it's horrible. But I knew they were filming there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason Segel co-wrote that movie. He was the reason why it got made.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he pitched it and they got it made,
I know, he's a really great guy. I met him.
Wow. So now in your classes, do you get like adults, kids, all ages pretty much?
We get adults mostly adults. We're starting a kids program for small children to teach them how to sort of, you know, move their mouth to a puppet and to make a voice and little theater games for them.
How old for those kids would you say?
Like I think 4 to 6, 4 to 7.
That's great. Okay.
And then there's like 7 to 9 and then 9. And then there's the last group I think is 13 teenagers. Mm-hmm. And they get to actually put on a show.
Oh, that's so cool.
The teenagers.
How fun.
And then the adults put on a show. We do a show twice a year with them. We do a show in May and December. Uh-huh. And we put all the groups together. We do one big show. We rent a big theater. Last time it was the Hudson Theater in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
And we've also performed at the White Fire Theater here in Sherman Oaks.
Right.
And we just put on a big show. And it's wacky and irreverent and silly. And it's like these adults putting on a puppet show.
I want to go. So when do you guys normally do it?
May.
Okay.
May's the next one, yeah.
Okay, you'll have to let me
know. I'll invite you, yes, absolutely.
I'd love to come.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh my God, that'd be so awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I think it'd be fun to do.
Yeah.
Like, I would actually just...
I think so. I used to like puppets when I was really... You know, a young kid, they'd have like rubber heads and, you know, a little like cloth thing and just the very, very basic one. Mm-hmm. You know? But yeah, it was fun. You know, it's an opportunity for a kid to put on a show for his friends and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Plus, it's building confidence, I think, too, and building characters and like, you know, just learning just, I don't know, I think for me, like just learning different voices because I make up all kinds of stupid voices all the time. But I think it would be really just, I would actually love to possibly even come to.
Okay, well, cool. Yeah. It's really rewarding for me to sit back during the shows and watch, like to think that it's like a 16-week program. Mm-hmm. And in 16 weeks, these people go from no experience in puppetry at all to becoming very proficient. Mm-hmm. And then when I watch their show, It's like amazes me that somebody could learn a new skill so quickly. Mm-hmm. And Jim Henson used to say to me that it takes 3 years to make a good Muppeteer. Mm-hmm. That's because there was no school. You had to sort of learn on the job.
Right.
And so you're always learning, trying to learn, trying to pick up things.
Yeah.
And so it did take 3 years. Right. But with school, with puppet school, it takes much less time because the learning is compressed. It's like I've taken this 30-year career and I've compressed it into 16 weeks for you to learn how to do this.
Yeah. And you really show them different voices as well.
Different voices. We do improvs.
Okay.
We do voices. We do scenes. We do the TV puppetry is all performed on camera, which is really fun. Yeah.
Okay.
And the theater puppetry is performed in front of a mirror, so you can see yourself perform live. And all the puppetry in our shows is done full view. You can see the puppeteer.
Oh, wow. That's really...
There's no curtains. Nobody's hiding behind any curtains.
Right.
That's actually really
Now, isn't that distracting, though, when you watch a show and you see the
It's actually fascinating
person?
To the audiences. Yeah, they like to go between the puppets and the... There's a screen that projects the TV puppetry.
Uh-huh.
So you can watch the screen. Mm-hmm. You can watch the actual performance, or you can watch the puppeteers all at the same time. It's very fascinating to see how it all works.
Yeah.
So where can people get more information for your school?
Well, they can go to puppetschool.com, that domain I registered, that my friend Roberto said, let's do this. Puppetschool.com, or the phone number is 818-986-9944. That you could call us, and we're happy to talk with you. We're in Sherman Oaks.
And you guys are on Twitter as well, right?
We're on Twitter.
Okay.
Yes, we're on Twitter and Facebook.
Yay.
Well, that's definitely a good idea, you know, for people who didn't know what they want to do with themselves. Here, become a puppeteer, you know?
I think it's so creative, too. I think it's really important, like I said, for kids, I think, in development and such. It really kind of just, it gives them... It gives them different characters to do. It really builds their confidence, I guess.
It's self-expression.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, you get some experience in entertainment and, you know, acting and things like that, you know. So I think it's...
actors can benefit because they have a new skill. They have another employable version of what they know how to do.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking of doing.
They can act, they can sing, they can dance, they can puppeteer, they can juggle, they can, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would do it. I kind of want to do it. You might find me there soon.
Yeah. I remember one British show. Do you remember Thunderbirds? Did you ever watch that?
Mm-hmm.
It was before your time, Bridget.
Okay,
I'm sorry. But it's all marionettes.
Okay.
And it was sort of a science fiction thing. They had like different rockets and airplanes and things like that. And you could see the wires. You could see the wire, actually. But it was still so cool, you know, because they had characters and... You know, so it was kind of like an early Team America, I think.
I think Team America was actually based on that.
Right.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the same kind of marionettes and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to watch Fraggle Rock all the time, too.
Oh, yeah. That was a great show.
I love Fraggle Rock.
That was an early HBO show.
Yeah.
HBO was just starting.
I thought Muppets was on, but it must have been Fraggle Rock.
Yeah, it was Fraggle Rock, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I remember being like, not allowed to watch HBO, but I could watch that.
Yeah.
So you say you worked on Team America?
I did.
Yeah. What did you do there?
I was a marionettist. I have a marionette background as well. I used to do marionettes. Well, for Bill Baird, I talked about him early on. He was marionettes. And I also worked for a man named Bob Baker, who works in a theater downtown. He has his own theater called the Bob Baker Marionette Theater, downtown L.A.
Okay.
He's been there for 40 plus years, I think. I worked for him for a year.
Right.
So I had some marionette background, so I auditioned for the movie, and I got one of the 5 leading slots, which was cool.
Wow.
And so I did different terrorists that shot people, and there's a scene. I think it's early on in the movie where the this one terrorist is running down the street, and the woman, Team America woman, says, "Terrorize this," and she shoots him, and he goes through a window. He blows through a window. I'm performing the marionette that blows through the window.
Wow.
Yeah, it was cool. So just various terrorists, basically.
Yeah. Now, what's the difference between a marionette and a puppet?
Well, a marionette is a puppet. It's a string puppet.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it has strings.
Right.
So it's a type of a puppet.
Right. And a puppet, the way we know it, is one where you insert your hand inside all that. Right.
Yeah, a hand puppet.
Gotcha.
Yeah, like a Muppet would be a hand puppet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Except you were not.
I'm not a
You're
puppet.
Not a hand puppet.
No, I'm not a puppet. I don't think so. I haven't checked lately.
Get back to me on that. I don't know.
All right. Well, Michael Earle, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Yeah, everybody check it out, puppetschool.com.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, go and become puppeteers. It sounds really exciting. Yeah. I'm sure your kids are going to love that. Do you have any kids?
I don't.
You don't? Okay. Well,
I've worked with a lot of kids though over the years.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
You're a lot of fun.
My pleasure.
All the best with the school and everything.
Thank you so much.
And thank you all for joining us. Brigetta, thank you.
Thank you.
Drive carefully in the rain.
I will. You too.
We'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
Been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an LA Talk Radio production, where we say what we want.